The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Owen O'Malley is here. He's an Associate Professor of Politics at DCU and he's the author of a fascinating new book, Charlie versus Garrett, The Rivalry That Shaped Modern Ireland. Owen, thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on the book. First of all, I know you had a big launch in the Mansion House last night. You describe them, Charlie and Garrett, that is, as ideological foils. So expand on that. In what ways did they have opposing ideologies?
I mean, I think it would be too strong to say that they had very different ideologies because they were both more or less kind of pro-business, pro-United Ireland. But I think it was how they were going to get to those things. They saw themselves quite differently. So Haughey would have been very much pro-capital and pro-business. Although that said, he worked very hard with unions and saw the need for the for unions. So he wasn't some sort of neoliberal. Garrett Fitzgerald was probably a classic social democrat. He wanted the same things as Haughey. He wanted low unemployment and economic growth, but he would have been much more concerned about the theory of social democracy and was concerned in that way. Then on the north, they both wanted the same thing. They wanted both wanted to progress towards a united Ireland. I think Garrett saw it as an internal Northern Irish problem that, you know, the unionists have to get on with the nationalists and we have to figure out how to get that done. Whereas Haughey was probably much different in that he saw that it was an issue between the British and Irish governments and that it was only the British and Irish governments could sort it out. And he was probably right. And in fact, he was kind of proven right in that the ultimately what Garrett Fitzgerald did in the Anglo-Irish Agreement and what became the Good Friday Agreement were really negotiations between the British and Irish government. And it was only when the unionists realised that the British and Irish were going to kind of move ahead that unionists really had to get on, felt they had to get on board.
So less about a different vision, more about a different way to achieve that vision. Is that it?
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose the other crucial way that they were important was how they approached power. Garrett Fitzgerald thought that he was right. Well, I mean, all politicians think they're right, but he kind of went in with the attitude that all I need to do is explain why I'm right and everything will fall into place. And that failed on a number of occasions. So probably most famously with the Constitutional Crusade, where he went on a radio show and in a long interview announced that he was going to have a Constitutional Crusade. It was going to change Ireland. And that he was just convinced he was right and he could convince Ireland. But Ireland was a little bit resistant and was probably a bit insulted by him saying, you know, we live in this old-fashioned state. We have a bad old-fashioned constitution and we're going to have to change all these things so that the unionists will want to be with us. Whereas Haughey was much more strategic. Like, even if you look at how he got to the leadership, you know, it was a 10-year plan. But even when he was thinking about transforming the Irish economy in terms of bringing in things like the IFSC and with things like social partnership, he had worked for many years with trade unions and kind of had worked on them to make sure that they would kind of go with it. With the employers, he had given them certain assurances. And there was a kind of coherent strategic vision there that you didn't really, I mean, there was an ideological vision with Fitzgerald, but there was no strategic vision as to how to get there.
People will hear that and people who've already formed opinions of them and the classic opinions will take that story as confirmation of what they believe, which is, you know, Garrett almost, not necessarily the reluctant Taoiseach, but, you know, somebody who is there for the betterment of the country, and Charlie all about, you know, power and ultimately personal enrichment. The book does go away to kind of dispelling that, or rather kind of acknowledging the reality of nuance in all of these things. How accurate, though, on some level, does that portray both of them, do you think?
I mean, obviously, when we're assessing Charlie Haughey, you have to look at his financial
yes,
situation.
What we now know.
And people, many people suspected at the time. I probably would have started off, given my family background. My father was one of the kind of main rivals to Haughey within Fianna Fáil. My family background, I would have gone into researching this with a view of Haughey that, you know, the man was a rogue and, you know, he was an interesting guy and he got some things done, but he was ultimately just a rogue. And I probably warmed to him and came to a view that actually he was somebody who was trying to do things for Ireland. sometimes, you know, his vision of what was good for Ireland also somehow managed to be good for Charlie Haughey personally as well. But he, you know, he wasn't just there to be Taoiseach and to rake money in. He was actually doing a lot of good things. And, you know, I think the balance sheet will kind of, he'll come out in, in the green, or in the black rather, in that it was, he was positive. And with Fitzgerald, a lot of people, you know, have this view of him that, you know, he was a man of great integrity, great intelligence and great energy. But ultimately, he was sort of downed by his inability to organise his thoughts. You know, he was just so intellectually curious that his cabinet meetings would go on for 12, 15 hours and his cabinet just couldn't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
It was just too long and too tiresome, and he couldn't focus on a number of things. And so he never really got a handle on the economy, even though he was the kind of celebrity economist. He was like, in the 60s, he would have been the sort of David McWilliams of his day. And I'd say nowadays he'd be a podcaster. but he, you know, he went into politics and he focused so much on Northern Ireland that he just kind of completely forgot about the economy and just left it to drift in ways that was kind of dangerous for Ireland.
What, was it awkward at all dealing with your dad's role in all of this?
No, I managed to. I mean, he's dead now. And part of me, part of me is glad, because if he read the book, he'd probably go, "Jesus Christ, what are you saying?"
What do you think he'd say? Which part of the book do you think he'd say that about?
I suspect in the kind of in the final chapter, I kind of do an analysis of the two men, and I'm pretty positive about both, I think. But I suspect he went, "Oh, you went too soft on that finger." I think I've kind of managed to look at him fairly coldly. And I mean, I could also see some flaws in him, you know, because like just some of the timing of his heaves, you were kind of thinking, I mean, I was only kind of 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
But had I been, you know, a bit older, I might have said, "You're doing a heave now? Are you mad?"
Yeah.
Like some of the things that they were doing and were kind of stupid and lent credibility to Haughey's claim that these were, you know, people were just trying to destroy the party.
And you know, the personal animosity, I mean, before, you know, the comment about the pedigree, Charlie's pedigree that Garrett made, the flawed pedigree in the late 70s. Was that 79?
Yeah.
What was their relationship before that? Was it always coming a rift? You know, were they chalk and cheese or
no? They would have been fairly cordial.
Okay,
so they went to college together. They were in UCD in the 1940s, which would have been a fairly small group of people, and so they would have known each other well, and they would have shared lectures. They were more or less the same age, born a few months apart. And they were both kind of progressive in the 1960s, would have been seen as kind of socially progressive. And Gareth Fitzgerald even voted for Fianna Fáil in 1961, Sean Lamass. Haughey tried to hire Gareth Fitzgerald to work with him on some policy issues. And it was probably only after the arms crisis that, you know, you would have seen Fitzgerald forming a view that Haughey was a danger to Ireland. And that was probably the main thing. But even then, there was, I mean, I think he said, you know, while we were never intimate, there was never any hostility. And I mean, even up to his death, Gareth Fitzgerald went to visit Haughey just before he died. And apparently it was a kind of cordial relationship.
What do you think either man would have made of the fact that they're in government together today, those two parties?
I suspect Haughey would hate the idea, and I think Gareth Fitzgerald would be thrilled. I mean, in many ways, one of the things that Gareth Fitzgerald was trying to do was try to bring what he would have seen as the kind of proper, decent side of Fianna Fáil and bring them closer to Fine Gael. I mean, he had even offered George Colley a seat at the cabinet table, and he offered my father a seat at the cabinet table. And so there was this attempt to kind of bring what he saw as the decent side of Fianna Fáil into Fine Gael. So I think he'd be quite pleased, and I suspect he might be a big fan of Micheál Martin as well.
To what extent then, before I let you go, does this period inform modern Ireland still?
Well, I think it's crucial to even thinking about modern Ireland. I think without the changes that were made from 1987, when they got the kind of public finances back on track, and it wasn't Haughey doing it on his own, because he was enabled in that by Garret Fitzgerald, who kind of said, if you do the right thing, we'll back you. But if you think about things like the IFSC, I mean, it seems like a small little thing now,
yeah,
but it probably enabled the Googles and the Twitters and all those and the Facebooks all to come and base themselves here, because without the Irish economy being seen as kind of serious, and without us kind of opening ourselves up to the world in terms of tax deductions for these foreign companies, I don't think you would have seen anything like we've seen in the sort of transformation over the last 30 years.
Well, all contained in the book Charlie v. Garret, Charlie versus Garret, whatever way you want to say it. Owen O'Malley, Associate Professor of Politics at DCU and the author of the book. Owen, congratulations again, and thanks a million.
Many thanks.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.